we thank you for such times as this, that we can come together as your children, as your people, to come to your very presence, to worship you. A time where we can be refreshed, strengthened, renewed in our minds, our spirit. A time where we can draw closer to you. A time when we can reflect through our lives. A time when we can affirm afresh our love for you and our desire to walk in your ways. A time when we can experience in a deeper way our fellowship, our oneness in the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace towards us. We thank you for watching over our lives, your sovereign undertaking in every aspect of our lives. And we ask that you help us, that we learn to be faithful to you, even as you are true and faithful to us. We thank you for all that you have undertaken for our lives and all that you have taught us. And this afternoon, we pray that you will help us as we ponder over the subject of prayer. We thank you for this great privilege. As your children, we can pray at any time to a God who is omnipresent, who can hear our prayers wherever we may be. And yet we recognize that even though you are a great and a mighty God who can answer our prayers in a powerful way, we realize that there's much we still do not understand of the subject of prayer and its potential, and also how we can pray in a manner that will be meaningful and effective. We ask that you help us, that we will not be mistaken, that we will not perceive wrongly, inaccurately, that we will not continue in a life of superficial prayer. It will help us to understand the issues that matter, what to concentrate upon, that we can make definite progress in our prayer life. And so, Father, we look to you. We ask that even as we recognize that this subject is of primary and crucial importance to effective Christian living, that you will help us to understand the issues clearly and also how to respond to you more definitely in this area and how to develop in our prayer life. We look to you, we ask that you be pleased to be in our midst and that you will protect us and keep us from the evil one. You will not allow him to harass us or to disturb us in any way, to confuse us or to hinder us from understanding what you desire to speak to us, and also in any way to hinder us in a proper response to the truth that you reveal to us. And so, Father, we ask that you help us not only to understand with our minds, but to improve in our spiritual perception of things. For all this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 65th message. And today we carry on with the third major category. I have covered with you two major categories. The first one on people, the second major category on situations. And now I will carry on with the third major category of conduct, service, action. Conduct, service, action, its meaning and quality. A reminder to you that these three categories are interrelated. It's not watertight compartments. They are closely related to one another. When we consider situations, often has to do with people. Conduct, service, action also has to do with people. But though they are related, it's helpful to focus our attention on these major areas for a clearer understanding of some of the major issues that are important for our lives. And today I want to consider the first message on the third major category, and that is on effective prayer, the topic for today, effective prayer. As Christians, we easily recognize that prayer is a very major aspect of Christian living, and especially if we want to be effective Christians, to live well for the Lord, then we need to pay attention to this area of our lives and to understand how to develop our prayer life well. It's a major aspect of Christian living, Christian activity, service, and spiritual labor. If we want to contribute to the Lord's work, then prayer is a very major aspect that we need to consider and to concentrate upon. And yet, though generally believers recognize that this area is very important, we often have a rather vague idea about this subject, and we just carry on day by day. It is rather helpful to be able to perceive and to understand more accurately this subject. Although I do not intend to cover in great details from different angles, I want to consider more from this angle of appearance and reality, some aspects for us to bear in mind and some major issues that are helpful to consider. So it's helpful, for example, for us to understand what is good prayer. What does it mean when you say that a person has prayed well? This person has prayed well. What does it mean? A certain prayer, you say, yeah, this person has prayed well. Or not just a particular prayer, you say that this a person who can pray well. What does it mean? Some people may appear to pray well. When they pray, others, when they hear it, may appear to them that it's a good prayer, they've prayed well, and generally they're able to pray well. Or a person may also think that he can pray well. Sometimes we hear a prayer and people may term it, in better commas, as a beautiful prayer. Maybe you've heard expressions like this, or such feelings come to you. That's a beautiful prayer. Or maybe it may come to you as a powerful prayer. That's a powerful prayer. Now, what do these terms mean? Why do we make such observations? Why do such ideas come to our mind? It's a powerful prayer, it's a beautiful prayer. What does it mean? And sometimes we come across or we hear people who can pray rather eloquently. They are able to express themselves rather well. They have a good command of English. And when you hear their prayer, it sounds good. But does it mean that it's a good prayer? In contrast, there are others who do not seem to know how to pray or how to pray well. So when you hear them as they pray, you find that it doesn't flow smoothly. And now and then you find that the person seems to be at a loss for words. Doesn't quite know how to express himself or herself. Or some are also affected because of poor English. The command of English isn't good, and they're not quite able to express themselves clearly, or quite able to express themselves properly. They're not eloquent. Do we then conclude that that's a poor prayer? And for example, in contrast to another prayer which we hear seems rather more eloquent, more able to express himself, would that be a better prayer? And sometimes when we come across people who don't seem to be able to pray because of these characteristics I've mentioned, can't quite express themselves well and at a loss for words from time to time, do we at times, when we hear people praying like that, when we are supposed to join in, do we feel put off? Likewise, a person who finds himself with such difficulties in prayer, would such a person then feel a restraint in the exercise of prayer, especially with other people, and refrain from participating? At times we can have such feelings, but I would like to consider further with you this subject so that hopefully it can help us to have a more meaningful response to such context, how we should properly respond to such situations and when we come across these things. In other words, to try to understand what we should look for in prayer and not to be too easily affected by appearance of things, but to seek understand the realities that are really important. Let us now turn to familiar parable passage in the scriptures on this subject of prayer. The Pharisee and the tax gatherer in Luke chapter 18. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Short parable. This is a parable told by the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. We consider this Pharisee. You can say that generally the Pharisees will be regarded as people who are familiar with religious activities, regarded as religious leaders of their day. And this Pharisee, he fast, he tithes, he prays. There are also indications that they pray long prayers. Luke 20, verse 47, we look at that passage now, that verse now. So they can fast, tithe, and not only pray, but engage in long prayers. And if you compare him with the tax gatherer, he also appears to be more eloquent, more able to express himself, and comparatively, if you look at the way he expresses himself, he doesn't seem to have much difficulty, and also he prays longer than the tax gatherer. In general, if we hear a person like the Pharisee praying, not just in this particular context, but the general description of what we know of Pharisees, the understanding of religious issues of the day and so on, and the training they've undergone, and the education and so on, when they pray, it's easy for others to regard their prayer, as well as for the Pharisees themselves, to regard themselves as people who are reasonably good in praying and may be regarded as people who can pray prayers which sounds good. Perhaps you are familiar with this term. It sounds good. They can pray prayer which sounds good. And maybe that's what some may categorize as people who can pray beautifully. They can pray, they can express themselves well, they can perhaps even here and there use scriptural terms the choice of words that they use and so on can sound good with religious phrases here and there, and may be generally regarded as those who are better in praying, more able. In contrast, we look at the tax gatherer. The tax gatherer would be regarded as people who are sinful, low status in society, and in religious circles they are regarded as low in status. And if you look at his prayer here, it's so brief, so very brief. Some may even regard this prayer as rather crude. Just, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Perhaps he may be one of those who may be regarded as one who doesn't quite know how to pray, or quite know how to pray properly. He cannot express himself well. He can't say very much. All he can say is, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." He cannot pray a prayer which sounds good. This is how some may regard a person like that. And yet, if we ask the question, which is the better prayer? Which is the better prayer? Then the verdict of the infallible judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, is very clear. These two prayers, the tax gatherer's prayer is the better prayer. Verse 14, the Lord Jesus says, "I tell you, this man," referring to the tax gatherer, "went down to his house justified rather than the other." The tax gatherer's prayer is the better prayer, according to the verdict of the Lord Jesus. But we may ask ourselves, why? Why is it the tax gatherer's prayer is the better prayer? What is good prayer? What do we look out for in prayer? And what should we be concerned about in our own prayers, and also when we hear others praying? What should we be most concerned about when we consider the issue of prayer? If we want to answer in a very brief way, we can summarize it in one word. And the answer is, the issue that really counts is effectiveness. Effectiveness of the prayer. Whether the prayer sounds good or not is secondary. The most important thing is whether our prayers are effective. But then we may ask ourselves further, what do we mean by effectiveness? How do we know whether a prayer is effective? What do we look out for? What constitutes effective prayer? And if we want to be effective in prayer, we want to develop our prayer life to be effective, how do we go about it? What should we concentrate upon? And these are some of the issues I want to concentrate upon. But first, let us look again at the tax gatherer and the Pharisee. Although they will not, this parable will not, in our consideration, will not be covering every aspect of effectiveness of prayer from here, but just some aspects as a starting point. If you look at the tax gatherer's prayer, one thing we can take note of is that it comes straight from the heart. From what we can see, the whole way is described. This prayer comes straight from his heart. He was standing some distance away, unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." He recognized his own sin. And when he prayed this prayer, it was straight from his heart. And it was effective, related to the fact that it was acceptable to God. And it attained its goal. He cried out to God for mercy. And verse 14, the Lord Jesus says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified." His prayer was accepted by God, and he obtained mercy from God. So in that sense, we can say that his prayer was effective, acceptable to God. It moved in the direction of the effects was in the direction of his prayer. It was a proper request, and when he prayed, there was movement in the direction of the request, which was meaningful and acceptable to God. So he prayed in the direction of mercy, and he received mercy from the Lord. In considering the text gatherer's prayer, you can say a very important aspect of prayer is the issue of the heart condition. A very major, important aspect of prayer has to do with the heart condition, not just the outward, the words expressed by the person praying, but the heart condition of the person, that he's repentant, he's sincere, and there is no trace of self-righteousness, but rather a correct posture towards God. These are crucial issues in prayer. The correct posture towards God. That is, for prayer to be acceptable to God, there must be the contriteness of spirit, the sincerity, and the honesty. When the Lord Jesus tells this parable, this is one major aspect that he wants to communicate, as we can see from verse 9. And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. This has to do with the attitude, self-righteousness within the self-righteousness, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt, the contemptuous attitude, and that is the Pharisee, which we will look at again afterwards. And then in contrast, we see the tax gatherer. In contrast, the tax gatherer would then be one who, he doesn't trust in his own righteousness. He doesn't have a sense of self-righteousness, but rather a sense of his own sinfulness, a contrite spirit, sincere, honest in his prayer. And you can turn to Isaiah chapter 66 verse 2 before we come back to Luke chapter 18. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? This is verse 1 of chapter 66, Isaiah, to introduce the second verse. Verse 2 now. For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. Verse 1 introduces the Lord, his greatness, his majesty. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. And there is no house that can really accommodate God. His hand made all these things, the things of this world. Thus all these things came to being, the Creator God. But he says, to this one I will look. He's a great God, but he will look. Look here is not just a question of the physical looking. When it says, to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite in spirit, is that openness to such a one. And that one who is humble and contrite of spirit, God is conscious, concerned, as well as open to not only the welfare, but also to the cries, the prayers of one who is humble and contrite of spirit. When he cries, when he prays, the Lord hears. To this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. Trembles at my word communicates to us a sense of reverence for God, and one who does not take God's word lightly, who has a proper regard for the word of God, what God has to say, which is linked to his reverence for God, and that the things of God are serious. So he has a correct spirit, contrite spirit, is humble, and a proper reverence for God and the truth of God. trembles at my word also gives the implication that such a one will take what God communicates and the truths and principles that God reveals seriously, in the sense of seeking to obey. This, of course, is also related to the meaning of contriteness of spirit. When we are contrite of spirit, we are open to God. Humble, repentant spirit, as well as linked to the moral issue of a heart that is set on turning away from evil and to do what is pleasing to God. A repentant spirit, a contrite spirit. And so such a one takes the word of God seriously and would seek to obey the Lord. As we consider what the Lord Jesus mentions in this parable and the thanksgiver's prayer that was acceptable to God, and the words in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 2, it is a strong encouragement to all of us, and that is that we do not need special qualifications, skill, training in order to pray in a manner that is acceptable to God, or even to participate in prayer. Prayer is acceptable to God. The primary issue has to do with whether our heart condition is right. We can pray meaningfully in a way that's acceptable to God if our heart condition is right. This is a major aspect. This is a prerequisite of effective prayer. Prayer that is acceptable to God. The heart condition must be right. And all of us, any one of us, can pray in a manner acceptable to God, because we can choose to adopt a posture, an attitude of heart that is acceptable to God. Contriteness of spirit is a state, an inward state that we can choose as we look to the Lord to help us to learn how to be truly contrite before Him. On the other hand, we contrast the Pharisee's prayer, and we look at his prayer. A major problem has to do with the heart condition. We see that there's no contriteness. There's a wrong posture towards God. A major aspect, the self-righteousness. In verse 9, the Lord Jesus told this parable specifically to warn us about this problem. Trusted themselves in themselves that they were righteous. Yet this problem of self-righteousness, and we see him listing his so-called impressive accomplishments. He stood in a praying task to himself, God, I thank thee. You see, his prayer sounds good. There's thanksgiving and indications that he has been trying hard to live out and fulfill his religious obligations and so on, to do these various things. But what is it that he's thanking God? There's thanksgiving. But what kind of thanksgiving? It is not true thanksgiving. I thank thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and so on. It's actually contemptuous of others. And the listing of his so-called impressive accomplishments, these are not accomplishments in God's sight. Because there's the projection of self, pride, a wrong spirit. The wrong spirit includes the manifestation of this kind of contemptuous attitude towards others. Verse 9, the Lord Jesus already mentioned about viewing others with contempt. And then in verse 11, we see how he thanked God that he's not like other people, swindlers and so on, even like this tax gatherer. And the Lord Jesus says, verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, referring to the tax gatherer, rather than the other. Basically, you can say that this kind of prayer, the Pharisee, his prayer is rejected by God. prayer rejected by God, not acceptable to God. This kind of prayer is not acceptable. And here I want to emphasize that we should take note that even if these wrong negative attitudes are not reflected in the words of one's prayer, that is, even if our words, the words expressed by the person praying, they in themselves may sound alright, but if the wrong attitudes, the wrong spirit are present within, then they will hinder effectiveness of prayer and the meaning and quality of our prayer and to what degree is acceptable before God. And if sufficiently serious, then the whole prayer can be rejected and totally unacceptable to God. So the point I want to emphasize here is that it's not just the words themselves. When we talk about the heart condition, the wrong spirit, sometimes outwardly when we pray, the words in themselves, if you just analyze the words, it may sound alright. Nothing wrong with the words. You may even be praying for people, no indication of the words there projecting ourselves in the sense of trying to enumerate our accomplishments in this kind of way as the text, as the Pharisee, or expressing contempt of others and for others and so on. But within, the spirit within, there is that pride, the lack of contriteness of spirit, and sometimes just trying to pray to impress other people rather than a sincere expression of the issues we are really concerned about when we pray to God. Trying to pray in a way that we can impress others or to concentrate on praying in such a way that it sounds good rather than concentrating on what is it we are really concerned about in our hearts, issues that are important, the sight of God, and in sincerity pouring out our hearts to God. So we must take heed that though prayer is a great privilege on our part and there's great potential in prayer, not all prayers are acceptable to God. And we must ensure that we must ensure proper attitude and spirit. Yes, the words themselves are also relevant. We should be careful. The content of the prayer in regards to the words. But within, the spirit within, and the proper attitude is crucial before God. And if we want to make sure that our prayers are meaningful, acceptable to God, we must make sure that our lives are right before God. Let's take heed as we look at the words in Isaiah chapter 1. Verses 10 to 17, not all prayers are pleasing to God, nor acceptable to Him. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 to 17. Verse 10 of chapter 1, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The Lord, the words here are addressed to the Israelites, but they are compared to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, was destroyed by the Lord because of their evilness, wickedness. Verse 11 says, what are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. So there are various sacrifices they offer and so on. Outwardly, there are various things that may appear good, pleasing to God. These sacrifices and so on were in accordance with the commandments of God. But God said, what are your multiplied sacrifices to me? I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. What is the reason? Verse 13, I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assemblies. They do not go together. Even if you come before me, offer your sacrifices, I cannot endure these things when there's iniquity. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. Verse 15. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Now, it doesn't mean that God cannot hear. Of course, He can hear all things. But He says, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Just now, remember, we saw about how God looks to the contrite of heart, contrite in spirit. But He says, I will hide my eyes from you. That is, He will not regard you, although you may try to pray to Him, come before Him. He says, when you spread your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. There's a barrier. I will not hearken to you. I will not pay heed to you. Yes, even when you multiply prayers, you may pray a lot, but I will not listen. Not all prayers are acceptable to God. Why? Your hands are covered with blood, their iniquity, their sins. So verse 16 says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. If you want to be acceptable before God, including your prayers, you must wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. There must be reality of love for what is good, as well as seeking to live a life that's pleasing in God's sight. When we really, in reality, seek before the Lord humbly to walk with Him in this way, then our prayers will be acceptable to Him. It doesn't mean that our lives must be perfect. There can be no wrongdoing. But it says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Basically, the direction of our lives, we must seek to remove the evil of our deeds. Cease to do evil, learn to do what is good. Seek justice. The correct spirit at your heart, as well as a life set in a direction of what is pleasing to God. Not just words, but in sincerity, we seek to live lives that are pleasing before God. Then our prayers will be acceptable to God. But if our lives are not right before God, however hard we may try to pray in ways that sound good, the words may be right, but they will be rejected by God. So I now want to go on to a fuller statement and consideration on the meaning of effective prayer. Now let's go beyond just the text gatherer's kind of prayer. When the text gatherer cried out, God be merciful to me, the sinner. In one sense, you can say there's effectiveness in his prayer. But that's not all there is to effective prayer. We have to go on to consider more fully the meaning of effective prayer. And I see it's helpful to recognize two aspects. So you can say that in two parts. First part, one, is prayer acceptable to God. The meaning of effective prayer, the first part is the prayer must be acceptable to God. If it's not acceptable to God, then there's nothing left to be said. So the first part, the prayer must be acceptable to God. Then the second part, but that's not all. Beyond just prayer acceptable to God, we want to consider, at a deeper level, effective prayer. Prayer is acceptable to God. There can be various aspects to this meaning of prayer acceptable to God. The range varies very greatly. And so I want to concentrate on the second aspect. That is, its quality and impact on the spiritual realm. Its quality and impact on the spiritual realm and contribution to direction of goal of the prayer. Contribution to direction of goal of the prayer in line with God's will and kingdom. The second part is its quality and impact on the spiritual realm and contribution to the direction of the goal of the prayer in line with God's will and kingdom. That is, when we consider how effective is a prayer, or when we consider effective prayer life of a person, then we need to consider and try to understand, recognize the quality of and impact of that prayer. Not all prayer are the same quality, and the impact, when we pray, the impact is not all the same. And I mentioned about the contribution to direction of the goal of the prayer. Some prayers, the issues are major. And when a person prays, how much is there a contribution in the direction of the goal of that prayer? Different prayers have different degrees of strength and impact and contributes to the movement of events or the accomplishment of the goal of that prayer, the objective of that prayer. So when you have a major issue, various ones may be praying, different ones may be contributing in different ways to the attaining of the objective in that prayer, but the contribution can vary. So when you consider effectiveness of prayer, this is a significant aspect, that is, how much is contributed in the direction of the goal of the prayer and in line with God's will and kingdom, helps us to understand that when we talk about effectiveness of prayer, the objective, the goal, must be in line with God's will and God's kingdom. But not just the goal in line with God's will and kingdom, but there are various aspects in the prayer. Wisdom in the prayer, understanding of issues, various things that are important in God's heart that has a bearing on the goal and objective. The understanding of the person in praying and how he prays over these various aspects that contributes to the direction of the goal of the prayer. All these are important. I will elaborate by giving some examples. Few areas. Of course, these are interrelated issues, but just some examples we can consider. Let's consider first example A in the spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Now, in prayer that involves spiritual warfare, the first part of effective prayer has to be satisfied. The prayer must be acceptable to God. Now, this is not just in prayer that involves spiritual warfare when you address God, but even in kind of spiritual warfare prayer which has been considered before with you, the confrontational kind where you address the powers of darkness, even in such kinds of prayer, it still has to be acceptable before God, because the power of our prayer is directly related to the power of God at work through us in our prayers. So whatever kind, whatever form of prayer, first of all, it must be acceptable to God, that can then have its bearing on the second aspect, the quality and impact. Now, besides just saying whether the prayer is acceptable to God or not, and whether God is at work and responds to us in our prayer, the other aspect that's very significant also has to do with the quality of the impact of our prayer. So, for example, in spiritual warfare, the impact on the spiritual realm, the impact on the powers of darkness. So, for example, when we are praying for someone in a certain situation, either the spiritual attacks, oppression, the works of the powers of darkness, and we pray, what kind of impact does it have on the powers of darkness? Let's say we are seeking to pray to help that person so that he will not undergo such intense spiritual attacks. So our prayer may involve praying against the powers of darkness, for example, although we've mentioned in other contexts that we'll be very careful in these areas. But now I'm just giving examples. So I'm not suggesting that you try to pray against the powers of darkness carelessly. These are areas to be very careful about. We have discussed this in greater detail elsewhere. But now I want to consider this issue of effectiveness. Is that when we pray, effectiveness, one aspect of it has to do with the impact. When we pray, what kind of impact it has on the powers of darkness. So when we are praying for the person undergoing the spiritual attack, to what degree our prayer has the effect of hindering the powers of darkness from operating in that way, or at times to relieve the person or to overcome the powers of darkness at work in the situation, or for deliverance for that person. So the impact on the powers of darkness. Likewise, when Paul confronted the spirit of divination at work in the slave girl recorded in Acts, we've looked at that incident before, we now look at that passage now. When he confronted evil spirit, there's an impact on the evil spirit, and he commanded the evil spirit, it departed from the girl, from the slave girl. So the impact on the powers of darkness on our prayer, it varies. What kind of impact it has? Or in complex situations, when a person prays, the kind of impact it has on the powers of darkness can vary a lot. But besides the direct impact on the powers of darkness, in the realm of spiritual warfare, prayer and spiritual warfare, apart from the kind of impact of power in our prayer that has impact on the forces of darkness, let's consider also the issue of contribution to direction of goal of the prayer. So for example, a person undergoing spiritual difficulties. A person may actually be equipped in the sense of has the potential to pray rather effectively as far as the power part is concerned. There's power in his prayer. So for example, when he prays, there's an impact on the powers of darkness. But besides that, that is not the only issue of that matters in relation to effectiveness. Because a person undergoing spiritual attacks or under spiritual pressures and so on, there's also a need to understand what are the issues that are important to pray so that the person undergoing the spiritual attacks can benefit significantly. For example, one aspect would be, say, deliverance. There's also a need to understand how to pray that the person may be delivered. And that is not just measured by the power of the impact of the prayer on the powers of darkness, but how to pray in a way that will help the person move in a direction of freedom from the powers of darkness, which includes, for example, a need to pray for wisdom to understand what are the areas that are not right in this person's life that gives rise to the powers of darkness able to work in that way. How for the person to cooperate, to learn, for the person to be strengthened, and so on. There are many issues that are important in that context, which is part of the meaning of effective prayer for that person. So even if you have the potential of praying rather effectively in the sense of power, but you lack wisdom, then you do not quite know how to channel the potential of your prayer, the power of prayer. And it may not be effective because the person may not benefit much. And sometimes the Lord may have significant lessons for the person to learn, why He allows the person to go through that situation. Again, if we do not understand, then we do not pray over these things properly in a meaningful way, then we cannot really say that this person's prayer is really that effective. Because, as I mentioned, in the end, when we talk about the contributions, the direction of the goal of the prayer, what actually is the goal of our prayer? It must be in line with God's will and God's kingdom. So when you pray for a person, it must go beyond just the impact on the powers of darkness at work in his life. But the goal must have a bearing on God's will and God's kingdom, God's intentions for this person. So how the Lord would want this person to learn, to benefit, and so on. In other words, for this person's ultimate well-being as well as its relationship with God's kingdom. So in a context like this, we should then recognize that when we consider whether the prayer is effective or not, Are we praying effectively? Yes, a major aspect would be the power of the prayer, the power part. But that is not all. There's also a need to understand the various issues related to what would be a suitable goal. What is the objective? And the objective in line with God's will, in God's kingdom, and how that objective can be accomplished. What are the areas to pray about? What are the issues to concentrate upon? Which areas, which issues are more important? Then, of course, understanding of the powers of darkness, how to understand what they are doing in that situation, how they are working, and then how to counter them, and how to help the person who is undergoing the spiritual pressures and difficulties to counter these things. All these are very important. And all these will then contribute to the effectiveness of the prayer, of the person involved as well as the one who is helping and the person who is praying for this person. So when you talk about whether we are effective in prayer, we have to understand the quality of the prayer related to the impact on the spiritual realm, as well as to what degree we are actually contributing to the direction of the proper goal of the prayer in line with God's will and God's kingdom. I'll give you a second example in the area of specific requests. We may pray over various issues, their specific requests. Some specific requests are simple and more straightforward and easier issues. So when we pray, the Lord answers, and there's not much complications. But this area of specific requests, helpful for us to ponder further would be especially in more major issues, more important matters, and where more complex issues are involved. Then, again, the first part, the prayer must first be acceptable to God. Our lives must be right. That is the first part of effective prayer, that prayer is acceptable to God. But beyond that, how effective is the prayer or our prayer in that direction of that specific request, especially it's a major issue. In some major issues, you don't just pray once and that's it, the whole thing is resolved. And many people may also be praying over that matter. It's a big matter, it's a big issue, and sometimes a long-term matter. So how effective you are in praying over that issue also has to do with the quality of prayer, which relates to the impact of that prayer, and to what degree you are contributing towards the goal of the prayer. Contributing towards the direction of the goal of the prayer. So first of all, that goal must of course be in line with God's will and God's kingdom. So sometimes you may say, I pray over this matter for a long time, but the matter is still not resolved. Now, that doesn't mean that the prayer is not effective. It may be a very major issue, difficult, and you are contributing in the right direction. So various ones pray, there's contribution. In the spiritual realm, things are moving. Things are happening. There's a movement in the direction of the goal of the prayer, the positive direction. And when you talk about effectiveness of prayer, not every prayer will be contributing to the same degree. And afterwards, I will elaborate more on what are the various aspects that are important if we want to be more effective. The factors that contribute to effectiveness. But I first want to clarify this issue that prayers have different degrees of effectiveness and what are the issues involved. You can contribute in different ways. And some issues are rather complex, major. And again, though one aspect of effectiveness of prayer has to do with the potential of the power in that prayer. So when you pray, how much power is released in the spiritual realm? But again, there's only one aspect. Because some issues are complex, you also need to have wisdom to know how to channel the energy, the spiritual energy, the power, how to channel it, in what direction to pray, what are the issues. So some issues are rather complex. There are many various aspects that are helpful, important to pray about to attain the final goal and objective. To what degree do we understand and know how to pray over these various issues? we channel our energy in prayer in what direction? Of course, when you talk about channel energy, it is not our own personal energy, but in prayer, as we look to the Lord, in fellowship with God, as we pray, is the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, through our lives, through prayer. But God has so constituted reality and so created us that He allows us in prayer, which has a bearing on our own response, understanding, and the way we pray, for the way the Holy Spirit works through prayer. God has allowed it to be this way, so that the way we pray has a bearing on outcome of things. It's not just the Holy Spirit at work in situations, but God has so organized, constituted reality that He has given us this very important part in the realities in the spiritual realm. And so we must learn to exercise our responsibility well. So how we concentrate, what are the areas to pray about, how to go about it in prayer, the priorities, the emphasis, the right issues to pray over, all these are very important when we talk about effectiveness of prayer. Perhaps we can consider another example. See, lives of people. Lives of people. So when we pray for people, the first part must be there. Our prayers must be acceptable to God. But then, the other part, the quality, the impact. When we pray for people, there can be various degrees of impact of that prayer. So ultimately, in our prayer for people, of course, we want the well-being of the person, his eternal welfare, and so on. But there are again two major aspects of it. One aspect of effectiveness of prayer has to do with the power. When we pray, how effective is it in terms of the power, the impact? The other aspect that's major has to do with the wisdom in understanding what are the issues involved in this person's life. For example, you may be actually a person who has the potential of praying quite powerfully in the sense, now if you ask me about power part, afterwards I'll elaborate, but one major aspect will be, for example, the quality of your life, your spiritual strength, maturity. This gives you the potential for power in prayer. But though you may have this potential to pray powerfully, to pray effectively, to release the power of the Holy Spirit in the situation, but you do not know how to go about it. For example, you don't know the person. You can pray in the wrong areas, the wrong direction, the issues that really matter in the person's life. So in your concern for a person, you may be praying over the areas that are not so needful. So it will not be so effective in helping that person. Or people may ask for prayer support, various prayer requests. But their prayer requests, how do we go out praying for them? Sometimes the prayer requests are in the right area, so when you pray, it's meaningful, it's helpful, effective for the person's development. Or the person may ask for prayer support for various things. Whether he asks or he doesn't ask, we ask for provision for the person and so on. But are these things really helpful for the person? If we do not know, or we misunderstand the situation, then we pray in directions that are not really helpful for that person. Now that, of course, would significantly affect the issue of the effectiveness of your prayer for the person. Even though potentially, had you known what to pray for, how to go about it, it could have been rather effective. So one aspect, the power that's released. The other is how to channel the potential, the power that can be released in prayer, the prayer of that person. So to understand the issues involved, to understand the person, and what are the issues that are really important in the eyes of the Lord for this person, what are the areas of need, and the emphasis, which are the areas that are crucial. So that's where, if you are concerned about people, and we really want to care for the person, to help the person, though there are some general aspects we can pray for, that's important for every believer, his relationship with God, and so on, knowledge of the truth, but there can be various areas of needs of the person, which will be very helpful if we come to understand And then we can pray specifically on those areas. Then the power of prayer, the power that is released, can then be channeled to those specific areas that the person may be urgently in need of their prayer support. And it can become rather effective. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is understanding of a person and the person's needs is very important. And this includes an accurate perception. What are the needs of this person? An accurate perception of these areas of needs becomes rather important. If your prayer for the person is going to be effective, then you know what are the issues to pray about. Then knowing what are the needs, the other is how to pray. For example, including at times the person may be going through difficulties, complex situations. What are the issues involved in that situation? It can be rather complex. So do you know what are the key issues and how to then pray over them? So prayer is a very lively thing. It's not just such a straightforward, simple thing, and I know one or two things and that's all that there is to it. There's a lot for us to grow an understanding of the potential in prayer and how to improve, make progress in praying effectively for various issues, for people, for the Lord's work. So understanding the issues involved, how and where to channel our prayer, wisdom in knowing how to overcome areas that we recognize will be helpful to overcome on behalf of the person, how to go about it, all these are very important. Next example, you can consider the Lord's work, God's work. Now God's work, of course, is a very wide, general thing, but I will just give some brief comments here and there. If you consider at a wider level, the Lord's work, and consider, for example, if we pray for a country, again, the first part must be fulfilled, our prayers acceptable to God before we can talk about effectiveness. And then after that, we have to consider, when we talk about effectiveness, the quality and impact on the spiritual realm. Quality and impact on the spiritual realm includes not only prayer that involves the powers of darkness, for example, praying for the Lord to overcome the forces of darkness that are hindering the Lord's work in that country, but impact on the spiritual realm includes when we pray, to what degree the Holy Spirit, the Lord, is at work through in the context of our prayer. So the quality, the impact, when we pray, how effective is it? To what degree when we pray, or when the person prays, the Lord is working through that prayer? I said afterwards you'll consider more of what are the factors that affect these things. So that will be one major aspect. To what degree the Lord works through that prayer, and the life, the power of the Lord is released, as well as not just the power, but when we pray for the Lord to work in the situation, the whole being of God is involved and not just power of God. For example, when we pray for God to work in a certain situation in a country, the Lord knows, He can see, recognize what are the issues, and of course to the degree we understand the areas of need, we pray for them specifically, but there are also general aspects of prayer for the Lord to undertake, to work in the situation. So for example, when we pray for the Lord's undertaking in a certain situation, we may not know all the details, but when we pray and there's effect, there's power in our prayer, then the way the Lord works, the way the Lord undertakes, it's not just power, but God Himself undertaking in all His sovereign power, as well as wisdom, knowledge, and so on. But the other aspect that's important is, besides just the general aspect of prayer for the Lord to work in the situation, His undertaking and so on, there are also major aspects that are important for us to understand what are the major areas of needs in the country related to the Lord's work. So various issues may be urgent, important, and it can vary from country to country. Not all are exactly the same, although there are some major directions that are similar. So that's where the issue of contribution to direction of goal of prayer in line with God's will and kingdom our understanding of the needs of the nation, of what is going on in that country, or a particular sphere of God's work, what are the issues involved? What is the emphasis, the priorities that we should concentrate upon? And all these are not irrelevant, because when there is the life that is pleasing before God, certain degree of quality in our lives, as we know how to channel the prayer to the correct areas, it will make a significant difference. So to what degree then are we contributing to what the Lord desires to work out in that situation, in line with the Lord's will, the Lord's kingdom? To what degree are we able to perceive, to understand the needs in that country, in line with how God looks at it and what God is most concerned about? And then we, in fellowship with God, pray earnestly in that direction. And the power of prayer is released in the correct areas. Now, one has to do with the areas of need, the areas. The other has to do with, once you, after recognizing the areas, how to go about praying in a way that the objectives in those areas can be accomplished. All that will have a bearing on to what degree you have contributed. So when you talk about praying for God's work in such issues as praying for God's work in the country and so on, of course, it's not a question of you pray and the prayer is answered, full stop. Not just a pointed thing of a specific prayer request, but it's a continuing thing. So to what degree are we contributing? And the contribution can vary a lot from person to person. And likewise, when you consider together corporately in church life, how the congregation as a whole contributes to what the Lord desires and what the Lord is seeking to do in that country, the Lord's work, the progress of God's kingdom in that context. And there can be also various specific areas that are urgent, that are needful, that are important to concentrate upon, to know how to concentrate on those areas. And the last area I will consider briefly with you, E, worship or fellowship with God. I deliberately put this in because I want to emphasize that when we talk about prayer and effectiveness of prayer, we shouldn't just think, we tend to think of prayer more from the angle of accomplishing something, whether it be the Lord's work, progress, and people's lives, and so on. But there's a very major and important aspect of prayer which also we have to consider in regards to the issue of effectiveness, and that is our worship of God and our fellowship with Him. When we worship God, we have fellowship with God. It's not that all kinds of worship and fellowship with God is the same. There are varying degrees of effectiveness. So it's not only we have to be careful how we spend our prayer time when we are praying for various issues, but also when we are worshipping God, when we are having fellowship with God, what kind of quality of that part of our prayer time in our worship of God and our fellowship with God. So the first major aspect, the first part of course, that worship, that fellowship must be acceptable to God. Our heart condition must be right, contrite spirit, correct posture towards God. But the second aspect is also very important, the quality of that worship and the impact. Now, impact here on the spiritual realm has to do not so much, when we talk about spiritual warfare, it has also to do with power, darkness, and so on. When we talk about worship, fellowship with God, it has to do with, to what degree when we pray, to what degree, what kind of, in what kind of way that prayer is received by God. The quality of it varies a lot. Different people may worship God, but the way it's received by God, though it may be acceptable to God, various prayers may be acceptable, but the quality of it as received by God can vary a lot. How God receives it, the quality of it, of that worship as it comes through to God, the quality can vary a lot. Likewise, in our worship of God, in our fellowship with God, not only the quality of worship in the sense of the expression of our praise, our adoration of God, but also worship, fellowship, inclusive of our desire to intensify, to deepen our oneness with God, our fellowship with Him. Now, how we pray and the prayer time in seeking to deepen that fellowship with God, that oneness with God, the quality of it can vary a lot. And when we consider here, then the second part about the contribution to direction of goal of the prayer. Now, the goal of that time would be when you have to intensify, you have to deepen that oneness. The effectiveness of that time would be to what degree when you spend that time, you have deepened your oneness with God. You really enter into that oneness with God. And it can vary a lot. We have to pay attention to consider how we can deepen. Not just any time we just pray, we just worship God, we just tell Him, I want to deepen my oneness with you. It'll be the same. No. It can vary a lot. And we must pay attention to these things, to consider. That is very important. We all recognize that we want to deepen our fellowship with God, our oneness with God. And it is a real issue. It can vary a lot. How to deepen it? How can we come before God in worship, in fellowship, in such a way that it can really contribute significantly in the direction of a deeper oneness with Him? And the quality of that worship is deep. There's depth in it. There's quality in it to God. So not all worship is of the same quality, same meaning, and it's not a static thing. Even for the same person, you may be at a certain level of spiritual health and maturity. For the same person, in a given hour, how you spend that hour with God in worship and fellowship, how you go about it, can vary a lot. It's not a static thing. So the effectiveness of that time of prayer, of worship and fellowship, has to do with its acceptability before God as well as its quality to God. How that prayer comes through to God, a major aspect of course, has to do with the kind of spirit and quality of heart, how we sort out our lives and the quality of the response of our heart to God. At times we may say we cry out to God to purify us. We cry out to God that we commit our lives to Him. But what is actually the quality of that reality within? The meaning of that commitment? The desire for that oneness with Him? Have we in our hearts resolved all those areas that are displeasing before Him? To what degree is there the depth of response in our commitment to Him, our love for Him, our appreciation of Him? So when we express our love for the Lord, to what degree is there this depth of it, that we really appreciate Him, we really mean it? To what degree? To what degree have we pondered over the goodness of God, the various issues that will help us towards a deeper response? At times we say, how to express in a deeper way, in a way that's greater quality. There are various aspects which we can ponder about. Issues that will hinder, we ponder how to deal with these things. Various aspects we ponder over that can then help us to a deeper appreciation of God, to a deeper love, a deeper commitment. So it's not a static thing. It's helpful for us to ponder over how we can render to God worship of a deeper quality, in our desire to deepen our oneness, our fellowship with God, how to go about it in a way that in our time of prayer to Him in that way, it really moves effectively in that direction. And so we can say that, first of all, there are the prerequisites of effective prayer. The prerequisites has to do with the proper attitudes of the heart condition and posture towards God. These are the prerequisites. A sincere, contrite heart. We are honest before God. Sincere. These are prerequisites for the prayer to be acceptable to God. Now, this doesn't mean that there cannot be failures in our lives. There are no weaknesses in our lives, no struggles in our lives. But we must face these issues properly, honestly, in order to fulfill, satisfy the prerequisites. So if there are weaknesses and failures in our lives, but we are not prepared to face them honestly, then it will hinder us. You hinder the fulfillment of this prerequisite. So there may be weaknesses, there may be failures, but we need to face them properly, as well as the meaning, implication of a contrite spirit means earnestly, sincerely, we are seeking to overcome these things and not be careless or rebellious, defiant. But these prerequisites of the correct posture, attitude, proper heart condition, sincere, contrite spirit, these prerequisites, these only form the first part of effective prayer, of the prayer that's acceptable to God. I now want to concentrate further on the second part of effective prayer. That is the part when we consider about the quality and impact on the spiritual realm and its contribution to the direction of goal of the prayer in line with God's will and kingdom. Now, of course, this is an area that all of us who are concerned about our lives, we want to improve our prayer lives. This is an area that we want to concentrate upon to improve the quality of our prayer, the effectiveness of our prayer. And we may ask ourselves, what determines it? What are the main factors that contribute to an effective prayer life? This second part. And we can categorize them under three related categories. A, a major aspect has to do with our quality of life. That is, our spiritual maturity, stature, and health. Our spiritual maturity, spiritual stature, and spiritual health. Spiritual health is not the same as spiritual stature and maturity. Spiritual health has to do with, at any given point of time, there are different levels of spiritual maturity, but at any given level of spiritual maturity, we can be spiritually healthy. But a young believer also can be spiritually healthy, but he may not be spiritually matured. So it's important to maintain spiritual health at all times, and then to strive earnestly to make progress in spiritual maturity. Now, we may be spiritually healthy, but not spiritually mature. And spiritually healthy does have a bearing on the effectiveness of our prayer, but when we are spiritually more mature, our effectiveness increases. It's a factor, an important factor. Especially related to what I mentioned just now about the impact, the power released. When there's spiritual health, when a person with spiritual health and spiritual maturity prays, then the way the Holy Spirit works through the prayer, the life released, the life of God released, the power of God released, God at work through the prayer, spiritual maturity and health has a strong bearing on it. Now, this is related significantly, spiritual maturity and health, related also to the second major category that is very important, and I term this under knowledge. Knowledge. A person may be reasonably healthy, but he may be lacking in knowledge. But knowledge is a very important aspect of effective prayer. Briefly, we can say knowledge of God and His ways, of the spiritual realm and spiritual reality, including the powers of darkness and spiritual warfare and the issues involved. So this one aspect, God and His ways, the spiritual realm and reality, the powers of darkness, spiritual warfare, the issues, principles involved. Another aspect that we may tend to neglect or not so conscious of or is significant is understanding of man. Understanding of man is a very helpful, important aspect for effective prayer. So, in our conversation just now, when we pray about various issues, when we understand God and His ways, then it will help us to know what are the issues that are important to God, and also how to go about it in a way that will be effective to overcome the powers of darkness. So understanding the powers of darkness, how they operate, spiritual warfare, issues involved, all this will be very helpful in how to pray effectively, to contribute meaningfully in that context. But understanding of man also is very important. We've mentioned just now when we pray for people. Now, one has to do with specific understanding of that person in his particular context and his needs. But not just that, another aspect that's very important has to do with our general understanding of man and the nature of man. And that's where it's a helpful thing for us as we seek to be effective for God in our daily lives. We seek to learn, to grow. One aspect that's helpful for us to pay attention to is to prayerfully look to the Lord, to seek to understand more about people, human beings, their ways, and help us towards an increasingly accurate perception of people. In our consideration of appearance and reality, this is one of the areas we've sought to understand. And so, the Lord allows us to go through many situations of life, including our work context, family, come across friends, and so on, including some people who may be unkind to us, people who may give us a hard time. Let us not just view such situations as just problems and difficulties to get out from, the sooner the better. Not that we purposely want to go through such situations, but should the Lord see it fit for us to be involved in such context, let us recognize and realize that various situations where the Lord allows us opportunities to come into contact. And contact is not just a very superficial level, but the way people conduct themselves and so on, some contexts can help us to gain a deeper insight, deeper understanding of people. And although people do vary, and do vary quite a lot, yet on the other hand, we also know that man created an image of God, there are a number of things that are quite similar in the constitution of man. And as we prayerfully look to the Lord to understand people in the different contexts that God has placed us, more and more we can grow in our understanding of man in such a way that in the future, when we come across people, a stranger, the speed at which we can perceive and understand the person will be much faster. And also the accuracy of perception when we see how a person behaves and so on. And again, we will not just look at the external conduct, although we bear in mind, we also observe the externals. But beyond that, we try to understand the underlying issues, what to look out for and so on. And because in the past, we've come across various experiences, wrong conclusions we've come to, or wrong impressions, and how we correct ourselves and so on, we learn. Now here, it's not just from the human point of view and the world's ways of understanding people and psychology and so on, but more importantly, in fellowship with God, learning to have a more accurate perception of people, the way God looks at people, and the issues that really count. What are the issues that really matter? And then when people go through their struggles, what do they mean? And we are concerned for people, what are the issues that really matter? How to really help people and so on. So the understanding of people, the understanding of men, is a very significant issue that we must not neglect. Prayerfully look to the Lord in the various contexts He allows us opportunities to learn. He grants us opportunities to learn. And in our concern, in our desire to be faithful to God, to be effective for God, to be a faithful disciple of God, let us remember that a major aspect of concern at the very heart of God's eternal purpose has to do with man and his love and concern for man. So if we want to contribute to God's work, we want to be faithful to God, to live lives that are really pleasing before God, then understanding of man is a very major issue that we cannot afford to ignore or to take lightly. But we must be careful in this regard, not to too quickly jump to conclusions. Continually be open, that the Lord can teach us and help us, and slowly we grow in our understanding, and then later on we will be more and more able to understand how to pray for people, because we have a more accurate perception of their areas of needs and so on, and what the issues involved that really matter in the context that they are in. How to care for them, how to pray for them, and what are the issues that will affect them in what kind of way. The knowledge, an aspect that's important for prayer, is the issues involved in the subject matter of prayer. The issues involved in the subject matter of prayer. Although it's possible for us to pray over issues where we do not have much understanding, so for example, people we do not know, maybe living far away, countries we do not have a lot of knowledge, we still can pray for such issues. It's not that we cannot. We can, and there's still meaning in these things. But understanding, knowledge of the issues involved is very helpful and can be very significant, because this will then help us to know how to channel our prayer in what direction, what are the issues, the right areas to concentrate upon. So the issues involved in the subject matter, this brings us to the issue of relevant information. It's very helpful to have relevant information. So when you pray about a matter, let us not just pray, stop at that level when we are talking about the goal of developing a prayer line. We must go beyond just praying very general terms, Lord, I commit this person to you, they undertake for him, and so on, and so on. That's all, in such general terms. But if you're really concerned, you know the person is going through struggles and so on, and if you're in a position, you're able to pray significantly for that person, then understanding the context of the person is important, or a particular subject matter or country and so on. So relevant information is important, helpful. This issue of knowledge, these various aspects of knowledge of God, the spiritual realm, understanding of man, the issues involved, relevant information, all this moves in the direction of what I would term wisdom in prayer. So you help us to be wise. Wisdom in prayer. And this is important for effective prayer, so that we will know what to pray for, how to pray, what are the areas to concentrate upon, and then we can channel, there will be more direct impact on the right areas. We can just pray generally, or we can channel the energy of the prayer and the impact of the prayer on the right areas. This can make a significant difference. Though God is unlimited, infinite in His power, when it comes to our prayer, though it's through the power of God, yet how we pray has a bearing on the way the Lord works. That's the meaning of prayer. That's why not all prayers are equally effective. So we need to be wise to know and to understand what are the areas to concentrate upon that the Lord's life power can be released in those areas. And then the knowledge of God and His ways and the spiritual realm and so on helps us to know how to go about it, how to pray in that context or for that context. So this includes the emphasis, the priorities, and this is important for us to concentrate upon. When we pray for people, we pray for various matters, it's very helpful for us. When you're very concerned about something and we're in a position to pray, it's important to know what are the areas to emphasize upon. We can pray over various issues, but some areas are more important. So we emphasize on those areas. We pray more earnestly on those issues, and that will be significant in the impact, the effectiveness of that prayer, because that will help it to move in the, contribute in the correct direction, more effectively accomplish the goal in line with what the Lord desires, the Lord's will in that situation. And wisdom in prayer also includes the issue of objective. When you pray, there's an objective. What is your objective? So your knowledge of God and His ways, what God is really concerned about, your knowledge of the person, your knowledge of the issues involved in the subject matter, relevant information that you have, all this helps you to formulate what are the objectives of your prayer in that situation, that context. And then you pray accordingly. C, the third and last area is degree of spiritual exertion. Degree of spiritual exertion. This is related to spiritual strength, stamina, and perseverance. You may have the spiritual maturity, you may also have the knowledge, but do you exercise yourself? Do you exert yourself? You may not. And you can regulate how much of spiritual exertion. So the effectiveness of prayer also is directly related to the amount of spiritual exertion exercised by the person praying. Now this doesn't mean then that we should exert ourselves spiritually as much as possible over any issue and every issue. That's not possible because the kind of spiritual strength, energy and stamina that we have is limited. So we need to be wise. What are the areas that are more important? What are the issues that we should exert more spiritual energy, and also to what degree we are able to exercise ourselves in that way without detriment to our own lives, to regulate our spiritual exertion such that it's in the context of healthy growth and development. So as we exercise ourselves, we are growing spiritually stronger, not weaker, not drained, and resulting in problems in our spiritual life. So the degree of spiritual exertion is also of great significance and have a direct bearing on the effectiveness of prayer. The other is perseverance. Because spiritual exertion can be how earnestly you pray at a given moment of time. But some issues, you require a long time of prayer. Do you persevere? So the perseverance also is important. You may have the spiritual stature or the health, the knowledge, but do you remember to pray? Do you care sufficiently to pray over these things, or are you neglectful? Do you pay attention to persevere over areas that are important to the Lord? All this will contribute to the effectiveness of prayer, of your prayer, of your prayer life. There are various aspects I would like to further consider with you. I think we should stop for today. But just before I stop, I think I'll just make one last remark and conclude with one verse. And that is that sometimes some prayers may appear powerful and effective and may be mistaken as such. As I mentioned earlier, some prayers appear powerful, but in reality it may not be so, because it may be primarily emotion and perhaps also loudness of voice or the kind of voice that the person has. This is something that is quite real. Sometimes we hear some prayers and it sounds very powerful.